Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 142, Directors, Parks, and Toys. Oh my! I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Quinlan Voss to my Kit Fisto, we have Carl LeClaire.
I can track things just by scent.
You can touch things and it'll show you things.
Is this... Are you making this comparison in light of finishing Dark Disciple, Jason?
Yes.
Okay. I really want to read that next.
Yes,
you liked it, correct?
Yes. Finish Lords of the Sith first.
Yes.
It's good.
Jason's like, here's your... Instead of Oprah's reading list, I have Jason's.
Yes. Yes. Because Oprah's reading list doesn't have the cool stuff.
No. No.
Finish Lords of the Sith, and then read Dark Disciple, because it's amazing.
Okay. I'm on it.
Good.
Yeah, I'm excited to see some Quinlan Voss. I read there were some really good Star Wars Clone Wars comics with Quinlan Voss, so I'm a huge fan of him.
So, good.
And you're always smiling, just like Kit Fisto, so it's perfect.
Well, you know, and he's also kind of my favorite, so.
Oh, man.
So, what are we doing this episode? This episode is kind of not what we expected.
No, so life has been very busy for me specifically these last couple of weeks. So unfortunately, we weren't able to get to our commentary again this week. All my fault. It's not Jason's fault. I want to be clear about that. But we did want to get an episode out quick this week before taking another week off, because we know we didn't put anything out last week. So we wanted to get something out, even though it might be a little bit on the shorter side. And then we will definitely be doing our Phantom Menace commentary next week, for sure.
Yes, definitely.
But today, it's the perfect time to be doing a Star Wars podcast, because there's always exciting stuff coming out. And obviously, in light of D23 this past weekend down in Disney, we got a lot of great new news. And we're not normally your news show, there's plenty of places that do it better than us. We didn't care, because we just want to take a stab at it anyway. And there was just some great news. So today, tonight, this afternoon. Accordingly, delete. Dang it, I'm no Riley Blanton.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Please delete as appropriate.
Yes. But we figured we'd just give you our take on all this really cool news that's been coming out, and also touch a little bit on the Force Friday that's coming up in just a couple weeks, which
yes.
I think I'm more excited about that than anything right now. I love new Star Wars toys. So
yes.
But
I look forward to that as well.
You know, before we even get into any of this, though, Jason,
yes,
I want to say, and this is something I've been thinking about just today, mm-hmm. and I will admit I'm stealing an idea, not an idea, but somebody sparked this idea for me. I was listening to the latest episode of the Sarlacc Pit when they were doing their San Diego Comic-Con
coverage,
thank you, and they had J.C. Reifenberg on as a guest. J.C. did the Hughes the Force movie. Really, really creative guy. He's involved heavily in the Comlink. But JC is a great guest, and he really... I mean, this dude knows his Star Wars. I think we've had JC on here once before. I'd love to get him back. But anyway, JC was talking about how his favorite thing at the... And he was kind of there as well, because he was at San Diego Comic-Con, so he could kind of attest to what it was like on the ground floor.
Nice.
But he was mentioning that his favorite thing that came out of the entire Force Awakens panel was... Lawrence Kasdan's shout out to George Lucas, basically saying, if it weren't for George, none of us would be here.
Nice.
And I think, you know, as much as those of you who listen regularly might think that I'm kind of hard on George Lucas, I love this man. I mean, he is the creator of what you and I both, Jason, and everybody probably listening, love more than almost anything in the entertainment world.
Yes.
And nobody has really said anything about George Lucas since he sold his company, you know, a couple of years ago to Disney.
Right.
And I love that Lawrence Kasdan made that point at San Diego Comic-Con. I love that JC kind of just like made me think like, yeah, nobody's really talking about George Lucas right now. And at D23, he was there. Of course, nothing really to do with Star Wars, but he was inducted into their, was it their Legends? Is that what it's called?
Yes, he was inducted as a Disney Legend, I believe is what it was.
Right, he's no longer part of their expanded universe. oh man, I was sitting on that joke.
I saw Nathan P. Butler of Star Wars Beyond the Films make several jokes to that effect on Facebook. You know, you're not the only one. It's a good one. So,
but anyway, George Lucas was there. Obviously, he was being inducted, and I mean, it was very short. Bob Iger, you know, introduced him. I think it was Bob Iger, anyway.
Probably.
And you know, George Lucas still looks very happy. You know, and obviously, he walked out to the Star Wars theme, and 3PO and R2 are on stage to greet him, and it was great because he is again the mastermind of this. And the introduction that Bob Iger gave, you know, again was a reminder. To everybody there that George Lucas created something more beloved than almost anything that's ever even come out of Disney.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just loved it. I loved that George Lucas was there. And I liked that there was no, like, so what do you think about The Force Awakens? Because nobody's asked him really about that except for, like, annoying, like, journalists. I think George is...
Annoying, not paparazzi. What are those little junk...
Trolls?
Things that you... That you see at the checkout counters, the junk news stuff that
Yeah,
tabloids.
There we go. Yeah, there you go. The
tabloid journalists.
But you know, I just loved seeing George Lucas there, and honestly, I am very curious to hear his take on The Force Awakens because I have a feeling that it's really departed from his original vision for a sequel trilogy, and whether or not that's good or bad, nobody can really say right now. But I am very curious, not in an annoying way. I wouldn't want him to be hounded about this, and I'm sure he will be. But I really want to know what George thinks because, again, he is the creator. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, it's a reminder. This is, you know, we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, Jason, but with the Rogue One, you know, cast and promo shot that came out, all Star Wars is really taking a big turn. And while that's really exciting and awesome, I think it's extremely important that we always remember what it's rooted in and who it's rooted in, and that's George Lucas. And I think if Star Wars were to ever live on, I mean, George Lucas is a mortal man. He will die. You know, I mean, he's getting to be older, too. He may be – I mean, he'll be dead in our lifetime. I mean, probably, unless we die young.
Right, which I'm not planning to.
but, you know, I think it's – you know, It's important that, you know, if Star Wars were to ever live on, eventually it was going to have to go beyond George Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, we've hit that stage now. And it's really hit fast forward, I think. You know, I mean, because so much is happening so quickly.
Right.
But I think, again, at the end of the day, we always have to be so thankful and respectful that George Lucas built this sandbox for all of us to play in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because without him... You know, childhoods would have been different and adulthoods would have been different. He seized the imagination. And he talked about that at the, you know, the D23 Expo. He talked about how when he was on stage that, you know, what he's always loved about Disney and what inspired so many of his films, probably, you know, mainly Star Wars, was its ability to grab the imagination and to, like, inspire awe and joy. And I think that's exactly what Star Wars does. George Lucas channels the energy of Disney and gave us those original films. And, you know, I think it made sense that he sold it to Disney. But, you know, it's just extremely important that we always remember, and I'm sure we all do, but, you know, again, whether you're a prequel hater or not, because obviously that's the only flack he ever gets now is because of the prequels, whether you love them or hate them, you got to respect the fact that this man gave you a sandbox to play in.
Oh, yeah. And not only is entertainment just completely changed and pop culture completely changed, but... 90% of the way movies are made is due to what George Lucas developed in making Star Wars.
Exactly.
90% of it, you know, it's either completely due to what he did or has grown out of what he did. And so it's, you know, the editing side of things, in particular,
And of course, the computer animation stuff has completely been pioneered by ILM and Pixar, which, you know, George Lucas kind of created that stuff too. So it's really interesting to see, you know, everything that... Isn't that ironic? George Lucas developed Pixar. They kind of bought themselves out, and now they were bought by Disney, and now Star Wars has joined Disney.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of a full circle thing.
Yep.
Kind of funny how things work like that.
I know it. Yep. So one thing I want to mention real quick, Jason, and I'm sure you caught it, but, you know, George Lucas, when he was on stage, he was only on stage for about 3 minutes, but he mentions about how his inspiration for Jar Jar Binks was Goofy. He always loved, you know, Goofy, the character from Disney. And that's a perfect, you know, that's like, when he said that, it's like, yeah, makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense.
And, you know, at the end of the day, still, I don't know that Goofy is a type of character type that fits into Star Wars. But I think as we all know, if you have been a member of this, you know, the Wampas Lair for a while, you know that my feelings on Jar Jar have totally changed since we first started. I at least respect the character. I will never probably love the character, but I at least respect and can enjoy the character. You know, but I think, you know, I've read some, like, bullcrap articles from a lot of people, obviously, that hate Jar Jar, and it's just like, can you believe, you know, thanks, Disney, for ruining Star Wars because you gave us Goofy, which then, you know, made this bastardized version of Jar Jar. And it's just like,
what?
It just was so obnoxious to read these things. Because, again, I'm not, like, a Jar Jar lover, but it's like, really? You're going to get that bent out of shape, George Lucas's honesty? I loved how honest he was and like, how vulnerable he made himself to say this. Because George Lucas is well aware that Jar Jar is probably the most hated thing in Star Wars. But he says, I love Goofy and I love Jar Jar. And the whole crowd cheered so loud. And he does. He takes such ownership of that character. And whether you love him or hate him, you got to respect that. And I do. And I really do respect his ownership of that character he created. And he created it for a reason. He created it for kids, and kids loved him.
Oh, yeah.
So he did not fail.
I'm proof of that. Yes. I mean, Jar Jar was created for kids like me, who, you know, growing up right at that time, could identify with the character, which I did, because I was clumsy and socially awkward. And, you know, at that age, when I saw it, and I was like, oh, he's my kind of guy, and he's funny. So that was my whole thing of why I liked Jar Jar to begin with. And then he just sort of grew up with me. So I'm really glad that George Lucas takes ownership of all of it. I mean, George Lucas has never been shy about taking ownership of anything he's created, you know.
Right.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. And, you know, Howard the Duck.
And the Jar Jar.
The good, the bad, the ugly, and Jar Jar. So it's really nice to see that, you know, he's still not backing down. And as you said earlier, I am interested to see what he thinks of Episode 7. I know he didn't watch the trailer until he went and saw a movie that it was playing in front of.
Right.
And so he thought it was cool. I'm wondering, they'll probably invite him to the premiere. I'm assuming they will, because, you know, he's kind of the reason why it's going
to
be made.
To be honest, if they didn't, I think that's extremely wrong. Like, that's wrong. You know, I think he'd be fine if he declined. I mean, I could see him saying, you know what, this is your franchise now. This is your film, JJ. Mm-hmm. This is your film, Kathleen Kennedy. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'll be in touch, but, you know, this is your night. I'd be fine with him declining to go, but I think it would be kind of a slap in the face to at least not invite him.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll be there because he's a film buff.
Right. Right.
And so he loves watching movies, and I do know that he's going to want to see this in the movie theater first. He doesn't want to come in and see it in editing and post and everything. He wants to see it in its completed form in the movie theater. I will be really curious to see what he thinks. But we have some other things that came out of D23 that we want to get to.
Exactly. I think one of the biggest ones was the Rogue One, you know, that they confirmed Rogue One is being shot right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they premiered this picture there. I don't think that was at D23. This might not be specifically D23, but, you know, this picture of the cast. And, you know, this is... I'll be honest, when I first saw this shot, I was like, this doesn't look like Star Wars to me.
It's...
You know, the pod racing engines in the background, sure, that's Star Wars. you know. But honestly, when I saw this picture, I just thought of like Firefly or New Age Battlestar Galactica. I did not think Star Wars. This doesn't look like Star Wars to me.
Yeah, or some sort of, you know, sci-fi Indiana Jones sort of adventure kind of movie. You know, where they have to go find the, you know, the MacGuffin or whatever it is. They very much the group here, the six of them here, definitely look like some sort of exploring crew. You know, that seem a bit autonomous.
Yep.
It's really interesting, and you know. Like you initially, I was like, this is Star Wars.
Yeah.
But as I look at it more, you know, I think it kind of grown on me a little bit. I'm still not completely sold just by the one picture. I'm sold because I'm Star Wars and I'm going to go see it anyways.
Sure.
You know, but, I'm not sold on the characters yet because all I've seen is this one picture. It almost looks like some sort of like samurai, you know, we're going to go trek across, you know, to go find this thing or to do this thing sort of movie. Because, you know, there's the one guy there in the lower left hand corner who he looks like he's, you know, Jet Li.
Yeah. Yep. I know you're saying. Yeah. And I think that's the actor. I didn't memorize the actors' names and stuff. I know who Felicity Jones is just because she was on that one popular TV show a long time ago. It was like a, but
let's see. We've got that from left to right. We've got actors Riz Ahmed, Diego Luna, Felicity Jones, Jian Wang, and Donnie Yen.
Yeah, Donnie Yen, I guess, has been in a lot of martial arts movies.
He looks like it.
Yeah, I really hope he's not a martial artist straight up in this movie because martial arts doesn't quite fit with Star Wars. Now, I know Darth Maul, you know, Ray Park is kind of a martial artist. He does some martial arts, but it's not like, you know, Bruce Lee martial arts. I don't think that would quite fit.
Yeah.
You know, Jason, like, when I first saw the picture, my initial thought was like, this doesn't really look very Star Wars-y, but it wasn't like I hate this. It was just more of like a, this is very different. And again, you know, we've gotten that, you know, Kathleen Kennedy describes the movie as being a ground war type movie, right? I think it's going to be more like a militaristic style movie. You know, and I remember reading an article, this was a while ago, but supposedly they've reached out to Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody's favorite atheist. That's what I think of him as. But also brilliant scientist. They've reached out to him to talk to him a little bit about like the science of space. And it almost seems as if they want to make space a little bit more realistic. Obviously in Star Wars, there's always sound in space. There is no sound in space.
Right.
Most people know that, you know, there's literally no air there. So there's nothing to make sound. You know, it seems like they're taking a more realistic bent with this movie, which I think could be really cool. We also found out that it's no longer a Star Wars anthology film. It's a Star Wars story. It's just a changing of language, but I think they do a lot with it. And
Rogue One, a Star Wars story. That's what the logo says.
Right, exactly. So. As opposed to Rogue One, a Star Wars anthology. I'm kind of a fan of the change, to be honest. I like the idea of story. I think it's more fun. It's more mythological.
Mm-hmm. It's more whimsical, a little more fairy tale.
Yeah, exactly. So. And I think, you know,
anthologies seemed a bit clinical.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I do like this term better.
Yeah. You know, I think this is going to be a big change for, you know, Star Wars fans seeing a very different type of Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a feeling this, you know, it's not like it's going to be rated R or something, but I think it'll be grittier. You know, the crew, you know, I mean, we've got Gareth Edwards directing. And then I know one of the guys doing the filmography or something did like Black Hawk Down and Zero Dark 30 or something. You know, these are all dark war films, very realistic war films. And, you know, I think this is going to give us a take of, you know, kind of the real danger of Star Wars. Because I feel like when you watch the original trilogy, even like how Empire is considered the darkest of the films, you never really have like this sense of real, real danger. Because you kind of know at the end of the day your heroes are going to be okay.
Right.
I mean, Empire is the only one that kind of throws that into a loop. But even A New Hope, you know, you never really feel like they're in that much danger. I think this is what I'm really looking forward to in Rogue One is I really hope we see Darth Vader. And I will say this, very, very minor spoiler alert from Lords of the Sith. Actually, it's like extremely minor. But when Vader first shows up, hearing the Free Ryloth movement's response to him, how terrified they are of him. Because Darth Vader is kind of this mysterious warrior who's very deadly. I kind of hope we see a Darth Vader like that in Rogue One. Like, I don't think Darth Vader needs to be in the movie a ton, but kind of just being this really malevolent, ominous presence that's hunting this crew, I think could be really, really cool and really scary. Because like Darth Vader was certainly intimidating in A New Hope, especially when it first came out. But he's not really scary per se. Where I think this movie could really do a lot to up like the fear factor.
Yeah,
which I think could be really, really cool.
I think one of the things that we're going to see, and they've sort of mentioned this before, is that these anthology movies, the story movies, are going to experiment a bit as far as tone and, you know, what type of movies they're going to be. This seems like it may be some sort of a heist movie, obviously, because we're going to get the Death Star plans stolen. So, and I think that's fine as long as the enumerated films 7, 8, 9 stick to the tried and true Star Wars formula. You know, obviously, you know, don't remake any of the original 6 movies in doing that. But as long as the enumerated films stick to that, you know, this is obviously Star Wars vibe. We can experiment with some of these, you know, I don't want to say less important, but these sort of side stories.
Right.
So, which is kind of what everything that they've been saying leads me to believe is happening. So it will be interesting. And I'm really interested to see what comes of it.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
But speaking of the enumerated Star Wars films, we have a director for Star Wars Episode 9. We know, obviously, J.J. Abrams is directing Episode 7. It's Rian Johnson?
Yep.
Yes, is directing Episode 8. And now Colin Trevorrow is directing Episode 9. And if you're going, who the heck is Colin Trevorrow? Jurassic World, anybody?
Yeah.
Yes. So, yes, he did Jurassic World, which... if you're emulating Steven Spielberg, that probably means you're going to be pretty good for a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't know much about Colin Trevorrow beyond Jurassic World. J.J. Abrams was, you know, because they announced this at D23, so in one of the interviews with J.J. Abrams, they asked him, you know, what his thought was about that. And, you know, J.J. is like, I mean, he seems like the most, like... I don't know. He just seems like the coolest guy. And he's very generous in how he speaks about other folks. And, you know, he said, he goes, oh, Colin's going to kill it. He's going to be great at it. He goes, to be honest, I'm just jealous that he gets to continue to work with this amazing cast and crew. And JJ's like, I wish I could be back to work with them again. And again, I mean, obviously I'll be curious to see how, you know, Episode 7 turns out. I have a feeling it's going to be very good. And I'd like to see JJ on a few more. I just really like JJ Abrams. And I think he really threw himself into this. And, you know, I was going to, you know, at first I was like, oh, I don't like the idea of having a different director on every single film. But if you think about it, the OT had a different director on every single film. Mm-hmm. You know, I think George Lucas was very heavily involved in Empire and Jedi.
Yeah.
But he did not direct them, you know.
Right.
And I think, I think that's Kathleen Kennedy's role.
Right? Yeah, that's her role at this point. She's sort of being the backseat driver for all of these things. I just want to read this quote from the StarWars.com announcement about Kevin Trevorrow, whatever. And this is a quote from Colin himself. He says, "This is not a job or an assignment. It is a seat at a campfire surrounded by an extraordinary group of storytellers, filmmakers, artists, and craftspeople. We've been charged with telling new stories for a younger generation because they deserve what we all had, a mythology to call their own. We will do this by channeling something George Lucas instilled in all of us, boundless creativity, pure invention, and hope." I love that quote.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that's great. And if that's his sort of opening, you know, thank you for welcoming me into Star Wars, I'm all for this guy directing Episode 9. So
Yeah, I am too. I am too. You know, I just love J.J. Abrams, and I love his hair. Huge fan of the J.J. hair. Yeah, I mean, I think this trilogy is going to be great.
I think so too.
You know, there was no really big news insofar as what they revealed at D23. Nothing new was said necessarily. Again, there does seem, you know, J.J. really did seem to harp on, you know, their use of practical effects. But I watched this really great interview. It's only like 3 minutes, but he does say, you know, he's like, this is Star Wars. There's thousands of CGI shots. He goes, it's not that we're opposed to CGI. He said, but I really wanted this movie, though, wherever possible, whenever we could build a set, we built a set because we just found it to be better for the actors to have something physical to respond and act around. And I mean, I don't act, you do, but I would feel mm-hmm. like that makes sense. And then, you know, he mentioned about how they did, you know, they rigged up the Falcon cockpit for Daisy Ridley, which we all saw in that, you know, behind the scenes clip. And he said, the reason we did that was there's going to be some shots of the Millennium Falcon flying through sunlight. And he goes, nothing quite captures the look of that as doing it in real life. And, you know, he again, I think to some degree a lot of fans, specifically prequel fans, have taken a lot of offense at some of the things that have been said. And I think unjustly so. This is coming from somebody who loves the prequels but prefers the OT. But I think people are reading this the wrong way. I don't think J.J. Abrams and the Disney company are crapping on the prequels. I just think they're trying to just do things a little bit differently, not the detriment of the prequels, but just to go back to, you know, what they see as the original way of doing things. I think, you know, JJ is very much a fan of practical effects and, you know, giving things more realism and, you know, the less CG you use, the better, in his opinion. I happen to agree with him. And I don't think he's purposely trying to knock the prequels. So anyway, but yeah, I love that he mentioned that. There's one other thing he said that I thought was worth mentioning. You know, again, he implied the importance of storytelling and how what was very important to them at the end of the day was to do a good Star Wars film, was to tell a great story and to, you know, and give you great characters to invest in. And JJ is a huge fan of everybody who's acting in this film. And he mm-hmm. spotlighted specifically Captain Phasma, being played by Gwendolyn Christie, first ever female villain in Star Wars. Did you see the detailed up close? Because they had a replica of the Captain Phasma life size armor there. Did you see the pictures?
I saw that they were up. But I was like at work or something.
Okay.
Never got around to go back and look at them.
They look awesome. And he mentioned, you know, he said, you know, he goes, Gwendolyn Christie is, he goes, he kept saying she killed it. But he was like, you know, to be able to act in that stuff, he goes, is so difficult. But he goes, not only to just act in it, but to perform well. He goes, I have so much respect for this, you know, this woman's abilities as an actor. And, you know, he really praised her character and how great it is in the film. So I'm very excited to see Captain Phasma in action.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, no, she's one of the more intriguing characters to me because, as you said, obviously in the novels and TV and comics, we have female villains, but we haven't had one in a Star Wars film yet.
Right.
And while there were some designed for the prequels, that they ultimately were passed for Darth Maul and Count Dooku and that sort of thing, which I'm fine with because I'm a fan of both of those characters. But this will be interesting to see, and I'm really curious to see where they go with it because, you know, that not that I think Star Wars is going to do this because Star Wars never does the standard thing, but, you know, the standard female villain is usually very cold and or very, you know, screechy and that sort of thing. And I don't think, especially in that armor, I don't think that's how Captain Phasma is going to be portrayed. So I'm really curious to see what twist Star Wars is going to put on a female villain.
I have a feeling we won't see her outside of her helmet that much. I could be completely wrong.
You're probably right, though.
I have a feeling that when we see Captain Phasma, she's going to be suited up 90% of the time.
Probably.
P.S. What a cool name, too. Which, never really mentioned that. But Captain Phasma. What a perfect Star Wars character name.
It is very Star Wars.
I mean, it's very sci-fi, too, but it's also very Star Wars.
It is very Star Wars. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
One other big piece of news came out of D23, and that is we are going to officially be getting Star Wars-themed lands in both Disney World and Disneyland here in the United States that are 14 acres each in each park, going to be devoted purely to Star Wars. It's not on the Star Wars press release here, the StarWars.com press release, but apparently all of the Disney cast members working in these areas aren't going to be wearing the standard, you know, Disney uniforms with everything. They're going to be in Star Wars costume, you know, dressed up as aliens and denizens of a galaxy far, far away. So they're going for a really authentic Star Wars experience in these theme parks, with the two signature attractions, including the Millennium Falcon, where you'll be able to get inside and take the controls on a customized secret mission, and also an epic Star Wars adventure that puts guests in the middle of a climactic battle, are the two signature things that are going to be at each of the parks. There's no date that's been released as far as to when these will be open. My guess is that Episode 8 will already be out in theaters. Maybe even the Han Solo movie will be out in theaters by the time this is done, because it takes a while for these things to get finished. But I'm super excited for this and hope that the next time I get to go to a Disney park will be to go see Star Wars Land. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first theme park experience ever was at Disneyland, or is that Disney World in Anaheim?
Disneyland is in Anaheim.
Okay, so I was at Disneyland. First theme park experience ever, right before Celebration, this back in April. And I loved that, and I loved Star Tours. I've always wanted to do on Star Tours. But this, this sounds absolutely awesome. And I can't wait to go down to Florida and check it out when it's up and running. I'm not a huge theme park person in general, but a Star Wars theme park? Yeah, sign me up. Because it does. It sounds like they're really trying to give you that experience of being in the Star Wars universe, which I think will be so cool. The important thing is that we got to get a group of friends to go. You know.
Oh, yeah.
This is not something I want to do on my own.
No. This
will
be
fun.
And
this will be so great, too, because people that, you know, are kind of indifferent about Star Wars, who love Disney and Disney parks, will go to this, and it'll probably feed into some of their own like interest in Star Wars. Be like, maybe I should check these films out again. That was a lot of fun. You know what I mean? This is a very great marketing tool by Disney.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just so pumped to like be able to go to it, because you know, Celebration. You know, one of my favorite things about the Celebration events is when they have the movie props and the things you can take pictures with. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're trying to do a lot of recreating that at these parks that they're going to be building.
So, oh, yeah.
I can't wait to see what that's like. I mean, I remember, I think I've told this story before, when I went, remember, you went to Star Wars in concert, right, when it was touring?
Yes.
So when I went to that, I went super early, and when I was done looking at all the props that they had brought with them, I just sat in the concert hall until the concert started, and they had, like, just Star Wars sounds playing in the background. Not music,
yes,
but it was like, you know, like, Dewbacks and Ewoks chattering or Jawas chattering, and just, like, the sounds of Star Wars over the sounds, you know, the speakers, and I just closed my eyes, and for like a few moments I really felt like that was a real galaxy I was part of. And it seems like Disney is trying to give you that as best they can. You know, it's still going to be a theme park. You're going to always probably to some degree be aware of that, but you know, I think there's a lot of elements of this that are really going to make you feel like you're part of the Star Wars galaxy.
Oh yeah. I'm super excited about this. I love Disney parks. You know, I'm a fan of Disney in general, and so getting to have, and there's been talk about, you know, Disney doing a Star Wars expansion at least one of the parks, you know, having a dedicated Star Wars land at least one of the parks here in the States. But the fact that we're getting him at both parks is super exciting. Yeah. I'm super excited about this. I can't tell you. But there's something much nearer.
Oh yeah,
in time that we're both excited about, and what is that, Carl?
Actually, though, before we get to that, real quick, we got to mention the awesome print that was released at D23 by Drew Struzan.
Drew Struzan.
Streisand. Who's,
yeah. Streisand. Barbara Streisand. I mean, he did all the prequel. You know, he did episodes 1 through 3, and I was told he's been with Star Wars since the beginning. Episodes
4 through 6 as well.
But I think he just did those like special edition covers. I don't think he did the original ones. Yeah, which honestly, I wasn't a fan of the special edition covers. I think they're fine, but they're nothing like the original art prints. I mean, they look great, but I don't like them that much. But I loved episodes 1, 2, and 3. He crushed those.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did this new print, and I personally freaking love it. I think it looks awesome.
Yeah.
The only thing that it really bothered me about it is Finn holding, you know, the
lightsaber.
Lightsaber. Yeah. And this is why it bothers me. This is the only reason it bothers me. And this is my big concern for episode 7, is I'm very concerned that our heroes are not going to be Skywalker lineage. And that really bothers me. And again, like I've said before, because again, when George Lucas set out to tell Star Wars, his very original idea of doing 12 episodes, you know, it was going to be this tale of a family, you know, and how that family shapes the galaxy. You know, and then when he does the first three, he goes back to the original, and it was, you know, then he was like, well, you know, episodes 1 through 6, it's the story of Anakin Skywalker, his fall, his redemption. And then when the idea of doing more films, George Lucas, you know, came out and said, you know, well, originally like 7, 8, 9 was going to be the passing of the torch to the children of that lineage. So it was always going to be a Skywalker story. And I love that idea because, again, that's so mythological. It's very biblical. The idea of a family, you know, a family who comes from nothing. Anakin came from slavery. Luke comes from a, you know, no good backward farming family. You know, like, it's stories of folks coming from nothing. I think we'll have that theme to some degree. I mean, it seems like Rey's character is kind of a nobody. Finn seems like he'll be a convoluted character who gets some real development. But I think the only reason, I don't care if Finn becomes a Jedi. I don't care if he even uses that lightsaber. But what bothers me is that, I really hope Rey is a Skywalker, or, you know, Kylo Ren might be too. You know, there's some rumors that Kylo Ren might be a Skywalker. But I think it's very important that we get, again, the story of a family. If all these new heroes are just random new heroes, that's really going to bother me. And that's not, I'm not saying that the movie will be bad as a result or anything, but it just upsets me from the mythological standpoint of it really throws a wrench in things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I understand. You know, and I know that's just from one little image. I don't dislike the idea that Finn has the lightsaber. It looks awesome. He looks really cool with it. The print looks fantastic. Han Solo, slow beats my heart. You know, or whatever. That's weird. But, you know, I mean, Han Solo looks great. My only concern is that this somehow isn't going to be the continuation of a Skywalker story.
Yeah. No, I get it. And from what I understand is the image that was released at D23 was just an exclusive for D23. It's not the official poster yet. They haven't revealed, you know, released that yet. But that's, if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, but I think that's what I heard, is that poster was just a convention exclusive.
Exactly, so. It is. It's not the final print.
So, yeah, we'll see what the final print looks like. And obviously, we'll have more characters than just, was it four of them?
It's just Han, Kylo, Finn, and Kylo
and Rey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it looked really cool. It definitely looks, you know, in the same vein as what we got with the prequels, which I like. But I really am curious now. This sort of just wets my whistle to see what the final poster is going to look like. So I'm really excited about that.
Absolutely.
But
yes,
before the movie comes out,
right?
We have Force Friday, and I know, Carl, you are extremely excited about this.
I'm super pumped. When Episode 1 came out back in 99. And they released the toys. I don't know if I think it might have been a month before the movie. It wasn't this far ahead, I don't think.
No.
This is very early, 3 months before the movie comes out.
Yeah.
But I loved, you know, when they brought out those Phantom Menace toys, and I could not go to the midnight because my mom just would not let me. By the time, episode two came out, I was kind of past the point of like, I was at that stage where I was like, action figures. Like, I'm sure I'll get some eventually. I'm not in any hurry. And same with Revenge of the Sith when the toys came out again. It was just kind of like, But like, now that I'm so in love with Star Wars again and like, I don't care what anybody else thinks, I can't wait for this. And, you know, September 4th, a bunch of Walmarts are doing it now too, but every single Toys R Us in the United States will be open at midnight for the release of these new toys. But we're also getting, you know, a bunch of novels, mostly junior novels, but we're getting Aftermath comes out.
Yes.
A new comic series, Shattered Empire, is coming out, which looks really good.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it picks up right after Return of the Jedi. And it follows our main heroes, I think, which is nice. I'm disappointed that Aftermath is like a bunch of new people in a random Wedge story. I don't know why we need that, but whatever. Moving on. I like Wedge, but I want the real characters. I want our main characters.
Oh, I'm sure they'll feature.
Maybe. The toys, though, is obviously what I'm most excited about. And we have now, it looks like we've gotten images of all of the ones that are going to be released, at least the 3 3/4 inch ones. And then there's going to be a small wave of 6 inch black series. The 6 inch series, we are getting Kylo Ren, the First Order Stormtrooper, Rey, who comes with BB-8.
Yes!
BB-8's not his own character.
I figured it would.
Yeah, Poe and Finn. All kind of all the new main characters. And Chewbacca. We're getting a Chewbacca 6-inch.
Oh, cool.
I care less. But I am so pissed that we're not getting a Han Solo in Wave 1. Just because we know Han's in it, like we know he features prominently in the movie. Give me a damn Han Solo figure. I'm so bummed. I mean, he's not coming out in 3 3/4 inch. I mean, obviously we will get one. I'm sure like shortly before the film comes out. Like we're also not getting a Luke or a Leia or a 3PO or an R2. Right. You know, they're obviously focusing on the new characters. The 6-inch ones, honestly, the only ones I have an interest in getting right now is Kylo and the Stormtrooper. I might get Rey just to have BB-8. I probably won't get Poe or Finn, though.
I'll have to see what they look like.
They look pretty good. Kylo especially. Kylo Ren looks great.
Oh, I'm sure he does. My biggest beef with the 3 3/4 inch line that we've seen images from so far is the 5 points of articulation. I do not like that style of action figure, and I know the vintage collectors really like it, but I don't. Because I like to take my figures out, and I like to pose them on my shelves, and the 5 points of articulation figures look really stupid just standing there.
Yeah.
They're really stupid, and I don't like it. This is my only beef with what we've got so far. I think I've heard they may have a more articulated line of 3 3/4 inch figures, but until then, I will probably be sticking with the 6-inch figures at this point until I find out if I love 3 3/4 inch figures, but unless we get more articulated ones, I'm not sure yet. I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm not sure yet if I will buy these 3 3/4 inch ones just simply because it doesn't fit what I've got with the rest of my collection.
Sure. Yeah, no, I was talking with Joe Hogan about this the other day. He seems to think, too, it's going to be like 5 points of articulation, like those Rebels figures that all, like, they look cool, but you can't do much with them.
Right.
Honestly, when I was a kid, I didn't care because all the, Power of the Force line that came out back in the 90s, they were all 5 points of articulation. I didn't care. I just made it work. And I also wasn't worried about posing them. I was just playing with them.
Right.
But now, yeah, you want to be able to kind of pose them a bit. The 3 3/4 inch, we're also getting a small number. We're only getting, 12 of them. Again, there could be some more that we just don't know about. Maybe they are keeping some hidden. But like when Phantom Menace came out, we had over 20 figures in Wave 1.
Right.
And we're only getting 12 here. And two of them aren't even Force Awakens. Like, why the hell are we getting Vader and Bespin Luke? speculating that might be a flashback scene, but I don't think it is. I think it's just random ass. So.
Part of this is because I think the reason why you're seeing this is part of it is because they're getting released so far ahead of the movie. And they don't want to give too much away the action figures. So,
right
when we get close to the movie, you know, right before Christmas, you know, there's going to be the new influx of toys that'll hit for the Christmas season, and I'm guessing we'll get another wave of action figures then, and it'll probably be at least 12 figures, if not more, that are new to the line. And this is, you know, this is stuff we've already seen in trailers. This is stuff that we've already been announced about, except for a new character. And, you know, spoiler warnings for those of you that really are trying to avoid this stuff. It's probably a little bit late, but whatever. But there is a new character getting released that we haven't seen before, named Constable Zuvio. And he's got sort of an Embo-ish hat, which is kind of cool. So. Yes.
Yeah, and a really cool like vibroblade staff. So looks like maybe Rey will fight him with her cool staff. The staff battle.
Staff battle.
His character looks great. We know nothing about him.
Right.
But he looks really cool. And then we got like a Resistance Fighter action figure coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, the only 3 3/4 inch one that I will probably buy, and just basically because they don't have her in 6 inch, is Captain Phasma. The figure looks awesome. Captain Phasma looks fantastic.
Because there's no question of
that's true.
I'm sure when they make a 6 inch version,
exactly.
Of her, but that's going to be on my list.
I will probably buy that even as a 3 3/4 inch, just because it looks so cool.
It does look cool. That is the ones that I'm looking at here on this this site that we've got up.
Yeah,
that one looks the best.
Absolutely, I agree. And I want to mention too, though, real quick, the card backs look awesome.
They look.
I love the Kylo Ren up in the top right hand corner. You know, I love the way these card backs look. You know, I've actually noticed, I was in Target the other day. I was picking up some of the Star Wars cereal, which is delicious, by the way.
Ooh, I need to get some.
Yeah, you should get some. I picked up the Star Wars macaroni, which was also very good. But all the marketing they've done with a lot of the Star Wars stuff lately, I don't like. I haven't liked it because they always use like CGI versions of every character and prequel images and like stock Clone Wars images. Like, I miss, like, why don't they have classic Yoda on anything anymore? It's always like Episode 3 Yoda flying at you with his lightsaber. Like, I hate that. I hate it. Give me give me good Yoda, for God's sake. Hey, sorry, that's, I like my Yoda wise and nonviolent. I have found a lot of Star Wars marketing of products. I don't buy a lot of Star Wars stuff anyway because I just don't care. I'm not going to waste my money on something just because it says Star Wars on it. I have actually been very displeased with a lot of the current marketing stuff because I always find it to look very childish. And I know Star Wars is primarily made for kids, and a lot of these things are made for kids, but I'm very happy with the packaging of this new Force Awakens thing. They just like, oh my gosh, they look great. They look so cool. You know, the Kylo Ren thing, the logo looks great. I love that there's painted images of the characters and stuff. Everything looks great. Although I will say I would prefer screen captures from the movies. That was something I always loved from the old vintage cards. You know, they just looked so cool.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say the painted, you know, image of the character that sits to the left of the bubble looks awesome for each of the ones that I can see here. Captain Phasma really looks cool. But the packaging is really cool. I think the packaging is probably the most dynamic that we've gotten maybe since Revenge of the Sith, with the Darth Vader helmet packaging. I do agree that a lot of the stuff that's been out recently, like especially the Rebels packaging for the Rebels figures and the new, you know, the current 5 points of articulation figures, it doesn't really grab me like this does.
Right.
So
absolutely, I completely agree.
I'm just ready for a new Star Wars product to hit the shelves because I'm tired of seeing the same stuff at the same places all the freaking time. So
yes, I hear you. I hear you. I'm hoping to take a small recorder with me, if there even is a line at the Toys R Us I'm going to here in Boston. I was really supposed to go down to New York with Joe, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to now. So Joe's making a video with a couple buddies he's going with, which I can't wait to see. They're going to put it up on YouTube, I'm sure it'll be a lot more exciting than New York City area store as opposed to a small little outside of Boston store. But I'm sure, I guarantee there will be a crowd there. It probably won't be super crazy, but yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for this event.
I'm disappointed because I don't think I'm going to be able to participate in the event itself because I'm going out of town that weekend. I've got a wedding I'm going to in Texas, and
I've got a wedding that weekend too, Jason. I'm making it work.
Well, I won't have a car, and I'm flying in that day, and so I don't know what everybody else is doing.
Are you flying in on that Friday?
I'm flying in Thursday. Okay. I'm flying in Thursday night. Yeah. Thursday during the day, and I don't know what we're doing that night. So
they'll be there when you get back.
They will be. Although, if I can swing it, I may try and visit a Barnes & Noble and pick up Aftermath that weekend while I'm in Texas. So I now have a Barnes & Noble member card, and I've been using it up to wazoo. It's awesome. So, anyways, I love books. Books are great. Anyway. But yeah, I'm super excited about this. I'm really wanting to see what they do for the 6-inch, and if they have a more articulated 3¾-inch line. Because otherwise, if they don't, I may be switching from 3¾-inch collecting to 6-inch collecting. So we will see what happens.
Yep.
That's the only thing that I'm not liking about what's coming out next.
Right.
Is the lack of articulation.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And I'm curious to see if anybody else out there has the same qualms as I do.
I'm fairly certain you're far from alone. Oh, man. But yeah, I just can't wait for this event. I think it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a huge collector, period, so I don't feel like I ever need to get everything, and I'm not planning on getting everything. I'm just going to grab what I think it looks cool. Mm-hmm. Whether it's 6-inch or 5-inch, I don't really care, because the 5-inch, even if it is just 5 points or 3¾-inch, even if they are 5 points of articulation, they still play fine just on my work desk. So I play around with that Kanan figure all the time at work.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Right. Is there anything else that we want to talk about before we wrap up this podcast?
You know, I really don't think so, Jason.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to have any matchup or poll because this is sort of just like spur of the moment. We didn't have time to do our commentary, so we didn't have time to prep something new for you guys. We will have our poll for what your favorite piece of music is for Revenge of the Sith coming after our Phantom Menace commentary next week. So be thinking about that for when we post that on our social media. And keep inquiries coming, folks. We will when we have enough to fill an episode, we will do another Larian-centric episode for you guys. So, and what's the news on the Empire Strikes Back radio drama?
Oh, we're going to start that after not tonight's episode or next week's, because we're doing our Phantom Menace commentary. But the episode after that one, so the first episode in September, we will kick off the Empire Strikes Back radio drama.
Yes. But if you want to get in contact with us, you know, leave a comment, you know, tell us what you're thinking, what you're excited for, your thoughts on the news that came out this past weekend. Carl, where can they do that?
Well, of course, on Facebook, facebook.com/wampaslayerpodcast. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampaslayer, or send us an email at wampaslayerpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us in all the other great Star Wars podcasts of the 2nd Airborne Division over on starwarsreport.com.
Excellent. Any final thoughts?
None from me.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. This has been episode number 142, Directors, Parks, and Toys. Oh, my. For Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time. Here in the Wampa's Lair.
Lisa called Jar Jar Binks. Lisa, your humble servant.
That won't be necessary.
Oh, but it is. 'Tis demanded by the gods, it is.